Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Viewers of Madani Channel, there are many excellences, many fadail of reciting salawat al-Nabi, peace and blessings upon our beloved master Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In one narration, which is in Kanzul Ummal, the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, "Man salla alayya fi yawmin mi'ata marra," whoever recites salat upon me 100 times daily, "qadallahu lahu mi'ata hajatin," Allah Ta'ala will fulfill 100 of his needs. "Sab'ina minha li akhiratihi wa 30 minha li dunyahu." Those 100 needs, from them 70 needs of the akhirah will be fulfilled and 30 needs of the dunya for that person. So when we know this is the case, that 100 needs of ours will be fulfilled, we should try and recite Durood Sharif, Salat ala Nabi, at least 100 times daily, inshallah, to reap the rewards and the blessings mentioned in this narration, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Afdalul amali an-niyatus sadiqah." The greatest amal, the greatest action is having a truthful intention. Now with this in mind, let's make some good intentions prior to listening to the bayan. First and foremost, we're here, and the viewers at home are watching, just to gain the rida, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Make the intention that you will try to listen to the bayan attentively, inshallah. And whatever you hear, you will try your utmost to remember it and thereafter act upon it as well, inshallah. And how great will it be if you left the masjid today with all of this sacred knowledge, you acted upon it yourself, and then being a well-wisher for your fellow Muslims, you also conveyed that knowledge to them. And inshallah, they will also hear that knowledge and they will act upon it as well. You will gain the reward, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Like this, whenever you get an opportunity to perform a good deed, ensure that you make good intentions prior to performing that good deed, inshallah. Sayyiduna Jarir bin Abdullah Bajali, radiyallahu ta'ala, he accepted Islam in the 10th year after Hijrah, in the month of Ramadan Kareem. He's a companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And Allah Ta'ala blessed this companion with exceptional beauty, husn. So much so that the second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala, he is reported to have said, "Jariru Yusufu hadihi al-umma." That this companion, Sayyidina Jarir bin Abdullah Bajali radiyallahu anhu, he is the Yusuf of this ummah. Meaning, we all know that the great Prophet of Allah, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, was blessed with immense beauty. And this companion was also blessed with immense beauty as well. Hence, the example was given. Once what happened, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was in his blessed home, in his living chambers, when the Sahaba alayhi ridwan came to gain knowledge, to gain blessings, to gain the noble company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they began to gather in the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to the extent that it became filled. The entire house was full. This companion, Sayyiduna Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu an, came afterwards when it was all full. Obviously, he didn't find space in the main seat, sitting area. So he sat in the doorway. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam observed him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam folded his blessed shawl and threw it towards this companion of his. And what did he say when he threw it? He said, "O Jarir, spread the shawl and sit upon it." This is the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's offering his own shawl to this companion to sit on. But this was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you think he was going to let that shawl touch the ground? Mid-air, it's coming in his direction. It's narrated that this companion catches that shawl, doesn't allow it to touch the ground. What does he then do? He proceeds to kiss it, place it on his blessed eyes, and thereafter he begins to cry. He's shedding tears in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's saying that, "O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, you have granted me honor. May Allah increase your honor as well." And then, subhanallah, look at his humbleness. But again, his understanding of the maqam of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well at the same time. He said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can I even dare to sit on this shawl knowing that it's yours? This blessed shawl belongs to you. How could I even think about sitting on it? I won't sit on it." So he gives it back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions who were gathered there, that "Idha atakum karimu qawmin," that when a noble person from any group, any tribe comes to you, فَأَكْرِمُوهُ, then you should honor that person. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was honoring this companion radiyallahu ta'ala. So this is the account that's mentioned. Now so many points can be taken out from this account, but what we will focus upon for the duration of the bayan inshallah is how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam respected a Muslim, a believer. This person came into a gathering, he's sitting in the doorway, far away. The Prophet ﷺ threw his shawl towards him in his direction and said, "Sit on it. Spread my shawl and sit on it." He's accommodating that companion radiallahu ta'ala. And the truth is that this is very, very, very important, respecting your fellow believers. And this is an obligation of the deen. Whether someone is wealthy, whether somebody is not so wealthy, whether someone is black or white, regardless of the color of their skin, if they are a Muslim, they have iman in their heart, then it's necessary upon us to respect them. We must do so. And if we fall prey to arrogance, if we fall prey to belittling that individual, looking down at him, then we will only suffer loss. So inshallah, we will be hearing about the importance of honoring our fellow believers. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that all izzah belongs to him. But then he also says that respect also belongs to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he also mentions that respect belongs to the believers in general as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Translation: whereas honor truly belongs to Allah and to His Messenger and to the Muslims. So in this verse of the Quran, we're told Allah has izzah, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has izzah, honor. وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and the believers have honor as well. Who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this, that the believers have honor, have respect. In Tafsir Siratul Jinan, it states that we learn many things, but 4 points have been mentioned. Number one, every Muslim is honorable. And it is haram to consider or call any group of Muslims inferior. So as I touched upon before, we can't look down on someone who is a believer, a Muslim. Number two, this honor, where does it come from? It comes from the faith that is found in their heart. Iman billah wa bi rasuli. They believe in Allah and His Messenger. Because of this, they are now worthy of respect and honor. And it's not due to any money they own. is not due to any other assets or possessions. It's due to Iman that they are worthy of respect. The third thing we learn is that Iman, which is in the heart of the believer, this leads to him becoming honorable on a permanent basis, not temporarily. He's a Muslim in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has honor permanently. And what's an example of this? That when he dies upon Iman as well, even then, his deceased body is treated with respect as well. All his life he must be shown respect. And at the time of death, shrouding, burial, all of that, again we must ensure that we are showing respect to the deceased body. Why? It's the body of a Muslim. It's a Muslim's body. And what else do we learn? That even if somebody in society considers another believer lowly or inferior or belittles him, looks down upon him, this does not have any effect. That person, because of his Iman, is still honorable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is dignified and is deserving of being treated with respect as well. So a mu'min has honor, a mu'min has respect. Let me give an example. The saliva of a believer, and this may be something new for many of us, even the saliva of a believer, a Muslim and a mu'min, is worthy of respect. Let's give an example. It's stated in the books of fiqh that when you use a miswak, siwak, there are many benefits. Of course, it's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it becomes short, you can no longer utilize it, use it. The scholars of Islam have said that you are not to throw it into the bin or the garbage. What do you do instead? You respect that miswak and you bury it. Now, what is the hikmah? What is the reason behind burying it? Sadr al-Sharia, Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he answers this. And he says, number one, this miswak is an ala, it's a tool, it's something used to fulfill a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So number one, we respect the miswak because it's an ala of sunnah. It's used to fulfill a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second wisdom behind it is that the saliva of a believer is pure. And a believer uses the miswak. And when the miswak is used by a Muslim in his mouth, of course, this mixes with it, showing respect to the saliva. Mufti Sahib writes, showing respect to the saliva, the miswak should either be buried or placed in a respectable place. It should not be disrespected in any way. This is what Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has mentioned. And supporting this, giving another dalil, the great Mufti of Islam, Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, rahmatullahi alayhi, says that the scholars say that in the toilet area, where a person answers the call of nature, it is not allowed to spit. A Muslim shouldn't spit in the toilet. What is the reason for this? Because the saliva of a Muslim is pure, and that place that he finds himself in, it's an inappropriate place, and of course impurity is released there. Now after hearing this, ask yourself a question. That miswak, which is used to fulfill a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if this is to be shown so much respect that you must bury it, you should try and bury it, then what about a human being who himself is devoted to the best of creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who believes in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? One aspect was the aspect of sunnah, that miswak is used to fulfill a sunnah. Then you have a person who believes in Allah and His Messenger, who recites kalima shahada, who tries his utmost to follow the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the traditions, the ways, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is he not worthy of respect? Of course he is. And he must be honored. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his life emphasized on the greatness of a believer, the iman of a believer, the value and respect of a believer. Let's hear another narration, and this is found in the sunan of Ibn Majah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once addressed Al-Ka'batul Musharrafah, that Kaaba which we all yearn to see. We want to do tawaf around the Kaaba. Why? Because it's ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Baytullah. It has a noble inscription. Once the Prophet ﷺ addressed that very Kaaba, and he said, "O Kaaba, how pure are you? And how pure is your fragrance? How exalted are you? And how lofty is your honor? By he whose power is the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the court of Allah, the honor of a single Muslim is greater than yours." That Kaaba, which has great honor in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet alayhi salam is addressing it and saying, by Allah, he took a qasam. And he said, the honor of a single believer is greater than the honor of the Kaaba. So we must respect our fellow Muslims. And inshallah, we'll be covering how we can do so and in what respect do we ensure that we're not transgressing and violating the rights of others. In this regard, listen to a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu al-Muslimi ala al-Muslimi haramun, damuhu wa maluhu wa irduhu." That every Muslim is haram upon another Muslim. In what regard? His wealth is haram upon another Muslim. His blood is haram upon another Muslim. And his izzah, his respect is haram upon another Muslim as well. You can't violate another believer's wealth. You can't violate another believer's blood, meaning killing him unjustly. And you cannot violate a person's honor and respect, a believer's honor and respect. And before we move on, remember, honoring someone, it should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shouldn't be so that you gain something in return. Or it shouldn't be because you're scared of that person. The example given in the bayan is, just say a businessman approaches in his car. He parks up. Somebody goes and opens his door. This is a form of showing respect. Because in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way respect would be shown is when a person would arrive on horseback. Obviously, the transport was different. When a person would arrive on his horse, people would take a hold of that rein so that the person could easily dismount. Or when a person was about to sit on a ride, they would again hold the rein so that he could easily sit on the ride as well. Nowadays, if you compare the situation, we have cars. Now, if somebody comes and he pulls up in his car, it's a wealthy businessman, and you are going and opening his door with this intention that he'll be pleased by my action and then I'll benefit from him. Somehow I'll benefit from him. This is incorrect. It should be solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other example that's given here is that if a leader of a group or a party comes and again you open the door for their car, and the reason behind it is, if I don't open the door, then I will suffer consequences. Out of fear, out of khawf, you open the door for them. This shouldn't be the case. Respecting a fellow believer should be solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should be with ikhlas. Not because of personal benefit or because of fear. Just for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, respecting a Muslim is necessary. And the opposite, humiliating a believer only leads to harm. And it's a haram act as well. In this regard, let's listen to a narration. During the farewell Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed his companions. And he said, "Ayyu shahrin hadha?" Which month is this? Which month are we in? The Sahaba knew which month it was, of course. But they perhaps thought that the Prophet alayhi salam wants to change the name of this month. So they didn't reply by saying which month it is. Instead, they just said, "Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam." Allah and His Messenger know best. Even though they knew the name of the month. This was their, again, respect towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Alaysa Dhul-Hijjah?" Is this not the month of Dhul-Hijjah? And they replied in the affirmative, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the month of Dhul-Hijjah." Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "Ayyu baladin hadha?" Which city is this? And again, they know the answer. They are from that area, from that locality. But they don't answer. They say, "Allah and His Messenger know best." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Alaysa al-balda?" Meaning, is this not the city, i.e. Makkah? And the companions again collectively said, "Yes, it is." After this, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam inquired, "Ayyu yawmin hadha?" which day is this? And again, they knew the answer. But they said, Allah and His Messenger know best which day this is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Alaysa yawm al-Nahr? Is this not the day of sacrifice? The day of Nahr? They said, yes it is, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the Sahaba and he said, just as this day, this city and this month are sacred, your wealth and honor are also haram upon one another. Instructing the Sahaba about the importance of safeguarding each other's honor, property, wealth, izzah. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi elaborates on this hadith. He does tashrih and he says, just as a good deed within the boundaries of haram is equivalent to 100,000 good deeds. You perform a good deed in Birmingham or in any other city, one good deed in return. Or at most, as per the Quranic ayah, whoever does a good deed, he'll receive 10 in return. And here, in Haram Sharif, if someone performs one good deed, it's equivalent to 100,000 good deeds. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, this is the case for sins as well. Now people forget this, that one sin in Haram Sharif, in Makkah Al-Mukarramah, also results in a person committing 100,000 sins. One sin. Allah's Messenger described how just as a sin is more severe in Haram's boundaries than one committed elsewhere, unjustly spilling the blood of a Muslim, taking their wealth and violating their honor is also extremely grievous. The Prophet ﷺ is trying to highlight this to them, that we're performing Hajj, we know about the importance of these days, the importance of this city, but remember, violating a person's right is also a serious crime as well. Even on that moment, Hajjatul Wada, the farewell Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ is reminding the Ummah about the importance of not violating each other's rights and instead preserving and upholding the rights of your fellow Muslim. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And remember, when we are harming a fellow Muslim, ma'adhullah, we're in fact harming the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you may think, how is this? If I harm a fellow Muslim, how is this harming the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, Man aadha musliman faqad aadhani. That whoever harmed a believer, he has harmed me. And we forget about this, or we're unaware of this. But now we know that whenever we're harming our fellow Muslim, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam is also pained by that as well. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam is also offended by that as well. So let's get into some examples. You're probably thinking, what are the examples? It's stated here, people make fun of each other. And in many cases, the person who is being mocked and ridiculed, what happens is, he's also laughing with them. But inside, he's so offended, but he can't express how much pain he's in. And he just goes along with it. But in reality, he hates the fact that these people speak about me in this way. Or they mock me, they taunt me, they call me certain names. And I hate it. But he just can't express it. And they continue mocking him like this. This is one example. Another example is someone who only has daughters. Allah has blessed him only with daughters. And he has no sons. People make fun of him as well. Now it's happening in society. And that's why these examples are written by the scholars of Islam. Whereas if we think about it, that person has no control over who is born. Allah Ta'ala is the one who grants daughters. Allah Ta'ala is the one who grants sons. To some he grants both. Some he keeps barren. This is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Employers. Some employers, instead of adopting a position of humility, that Allah ta'ala has placed them in command, given them a status of authority, instead of being humble about this and being affectionate towards the employees, the employer, he belittles them. He mocks them. He feels he can treat them as slaves. This is wrong as well. In accordance to Islam, this is also harming another person as well. Similarly, some wealthy individuals, they take pictures of impoverished people, people suffering from poverty, people who don't have food on the table. So they'll go, they'll hand it over to them, and they'll think they're doing a great job, but they're also unwillingly putting that person in the media. or he's appearing on social media, he's having to speak about his plight, he's having to speak about his situation, whereas he doesn't want to speak about it. He doesn't want to come in front of the camera and tell the world, oh, I don't have enough money to feed my kids, I don't have a roof over my head. Everyone has self-respect. Another thing, and this is the last example before moving on, prank videos. People, just to gain views on social media, what they'll do is they'll make prank videos. The person's not aware, they'll play a prank on him, they'll record it, or they'll have someone to record it, and just to gain views, they'll upload it on social media. Just to gain views. But remember, the amount of baddu'a, du'a is being made against that person because of what he's done, he doesn't even think about that. That you are exposing a person or showing an accident of a person, a mishap that happened with somebody, to the whole world just to gain a few likes, just for, you know, a few pounds of this world, and you're not even thinking for a moment that what's going through his mind. Will he be able to walk out with his head held high after that? Maybe he'll become labeled as that person who this happened to or that happened to, or the pranked person. So this is another example of how in society people are mocking others, ridiculing others, taunting others. It's a very big shame that when a serious crime or a serious accident has taken place, even in that situation, people are thinking about the well-being of that person afterwards, but recording it and making sure they get a proper recording first, so that they can upload it on social media, as if the viewers will miraculously be able to help that person. So this is something that we should be mindful of. The Prophet ﷺ declared this sin of violating a fellow Muslim's right as greater than the sin of indulging and engaging in usury interest-based transactions. The Prophet ﷺ said, do you know, he asked his companions, he said, do you know what Allah ordains to be a greater sin than interest? And they said, Allahu Rasuluhu A'lam. Look at the answer of the Sahaba, subhanAllah, so humble, respectable in the court of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said, certainly in the sight of Allah, a graver sin than interest is the honor of a Muslim, or is deeming the honor of a Muslim to be halal. I can do anything I want to this fellow Muslim. He doesn't mind. You know, I'm in a position of authority. I'm in a position of power. Let's see what he can do to me. And here the Prophet ﷺ said, this is a sin. Violating your fellow Muslim's right is a sin greater than interest in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know about interest, that this is declaring war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here this hadith we're told that violating the right of a Muslim is a graver sin. So this is something we should be mindful of, inshallah. Concluding the bayan, a few verses, inshallah, few points from Surah Hujurat. Surah Hujurat, short surah, but contains ample lessons, just like the other surahs of the Quran. So let's listen to a few verses from Surah Hujurat, inshallah, and try and learn from them. One thing that has been mentioned in Surah Hujurat, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, and do not taunt one another. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. Now taunting is something that is general, is widespread, is prevalent. Somebody who acts upon the deen today, very unfortunately, is taunted. If he begins to keep the beard in following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's mocked, he's taunted. Why have you become a maulvi? You know, you don't need to keep a beard. Or what's wrong with you? Ma'adallah, discouraging him. Similarly, people who consider themselves as superior, they taunt others as well. They look down on others as well at every given opportunity. Somebody who's a laborer, people taunt him. Somebody who sells items on a cart, on a stall, he's mocked. Again, an example is given of somebody who only has daughters, taunting him for the sake of it, as if, again, he has any control. So, this is something that we should be mindful of. Two hadith in this regard. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those that extensively curse and taunt shall neither be witnesses nor intercessors on the Day of Judgment. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi explains this. He says, on the Day of Judgment, Muslims from this ummah will bear witness that the previous prophets conveyed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. Because the previous ummahs, the members of those ummahs, will deny this. those who didn't embrace faith in the prophets, they'll say, nobody conveyed the message to us. Look at the fortune of this ummah. People from this ummah, believers like me and you, will be asked to give witness. Because we know in the Quran that they did. We know about the story of Nuh alayhi salam. We know about the story of Musa alayhi salam. All of these great prophets, how they struggled and strived to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala will allow people from this ummah to bear witness and say, yes, these messengers did indeed convey the message, the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who curse and taunt others will not be allowed to be witnesses. And also it's mentioned that people from this ummah will intercede for others, perform shafa'ah for others. And who will be deprived from performing shafa'ah? Those people who cursed and taunted others. This is something to keep in mind. And the Prophet ﷺ said emphatically, he said, a believer is not he who curses. A believer is not he who insults. A believer is not he who uses obscene language. The situation today is very dire. Some people, they cannot string a sentence together without cursing. Swearing is so common on their tongue, and it comes out as well. Unfortunately for them, if they're playing a certain sport, if they're exercising, if something doesn't go their way, it's natural for them, because they're so habitual, to swear. And this embarrasses them as well. But they're stuck. So this is why, as Muslims, we shouldn't have swear words at the tip of our tongue. And that shouldn't be our natural reaction in many situations. But it's happening. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Another thing that's mentioned here, as part of Surah Hujurat, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Do not give other people evil nicknames, bad nicknames. It happens as well, someone has a beautiful name, a Muslim name, they'll distort that name, not to his liking, he doesn't like it, then he becomes renowned with it, everybody's calling him that, and that unfortunate person was not able to express his dislike for being called in that way, but they continue calling him it. And they know that he is hurt by that as well. It's derogatory, he doesn't like being called like that. But they will call him. This is another way that the Quran has told us to avoid. As well as this, we're told in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٍ. That, O believers, avoid suspicion. Indeed, some suspicions become sin. People think negatively about others. They don't have no evidence for this. And again, this is haram. That if you constantly thinking negative about someone, you have no proof to back it up, you don't even confront him, you're just thinking like that, then you're telling other people about that person and saying he's like this, he's like that. This is what the Quran tells us to avoid. Another thing, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not look for faults in others. The Quran is telling us, do not look for faults in others. Some people, it seems like this is their full-time job, that I need to find faults in others. And remember, even if you become aware of someone's fault, we're humans at the end of the day, we make mistakes. If you become aware of someone's fault, what should you do as a believer, knowing that he is honorable in the court of Allah due to his iman? We must hide the fault of that believer. The hadith tells us, whoever hides the fault of a Muslim, Allah will hide his faults on the day of judgment. And whoever exposes people, Allah will expose him. One hadith states, he could be sitting in the comfort of his own home, Allah will disgrace and humiliate that person because of him exposing others. So this is something that we must avoid. And it's also part of respecting a believer, that when you find out about his fault, cover it. Now what's going to happen by you telling others about it? Nothing. In fact, that will lead to many other sins. Backbiting. Oh, I knew he was like that. Or everybody will get involved in. And there's mass sinning. And the last bit of the ayah in Surah Hujurat, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And do not backbite one another. Again, backbiting is something that we must avoid. What is the definition of backbiting? That you mention something disliked regarding an individual, that if you were to mention it before him, he would despise you. Why have you mentioned this about me to others? Some people say, I can mention it to his face as well. That doesn't make it jaiz by saying, oh, I can mention this point to his face. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, what if that person actually has that aib in him that you're mentioning? you backbite someone, you've mentioned something that actually found in him. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is backbiting, if it's actually found in him. And if that trait that you mention is not found in him, then you're slandering him, because he doesn't have that trait. He doesn't have that defect in him, and you're just saying it for the sake of it. So now you're slandering him as well. So these are things, dear brothers in Islam, that we must refrain from if we are to ensure that in society we are developing a beautiful, fragrant, harmonious environment where people are respecting one another. It starts from us. We have to lead by example. We have to teach our children this as well. We have to be around like-minded people. Alhamdulillah, in Da'wat Islami, we have the Madani Inamat, which is known as the Pious Deeds Booklet. These are questions and answers that people ask themselves on a daily basis, formulated by Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliyah. And one of these Madani pearls, one of these pious deeds, pious deed number 44, in fact, it states that today, in case of becoming aware of a Muslim shortcoming, did you refrain from exposing it to someone else without a reason sanctioned by Islamic law? So it's advisable that we should all obtain this Madani Inamat Pious Deeds booklet. You can also download it as well. When you ask yourself regularly, am I doing this? Am I avoiding this? Inshallah, with the mercy of Allah, if you're sincere in avoiding those sins, Allah will make it easy for you as well. Alhamdulillah, this environment of Da'wat Islami is where we get this encouragement. We're always told about it. And we feel something in our heart. When we hear about these topics, we think, oh, we are involved in these things. But when we leave, we go back to our circles, then before we know it, back to square one. So what's the solution? The solution is to continue attending ijtima'at, continue gaining sacred knowledge. Affiliate yourself with this beautiful environment. Inshallah, sooner or later, there'll come a time with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where you will despise all of these things wholeheartedly from the bottom of your heart. And you'll think it's not worth it. Momentary pleasure, speaking about somebody, exposing somebody, this is not worth it, because on the day of judgment, it will all come back to haunt me. Remember that day of judgment where the ground is made of copper. And we know the sun will be just a mile and a quarter above our heads that day. It's mentioned in a hadith, and I will finish with this, that on that day, somebody who would taunt others, somebody who would do the things that I have mentioned in the bayan today, Jannat will be shown to him. He'll become happy. But when he will approach it, when he will come closer, suddenly it will close upon him, the door to Jannah. Imagine that day again, the ground made of copper, the sun just a mile and a quarter above our heads. Nafsi, nafsi, everyone's thinking about themselves. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. We know that day a person will run away from his brother. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِي. Parents as well. Everyone will run away from each other. Everyone's after their own deeds. How can we get deeds from another person? Nafsi, nafsi. On that day, when a person wants deliverance, wants salvation, and then he sees Jannah and he thinks, yes, I've attained it. Then all of a sudden the door of Jannah is closed upon him. But that vision of Jannah that he was shown was closed upon him. Imagine how he will feel. How regretful he will feel. How down he would feel. Only that person will be able to explain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us ever from amongst those people. May Allah ta'ala make us from amongst those who are shown Jannah, and then we enter it to abide therein forever. Inshallah. So how do we do that? We create this beautiful environment where we're respecting one another. We're thinking about one another. We're protecting one another. One another's wealth, as you heard, maluhu, damuhu, wa irduhu, the hadith said, protecting someone's wealth, property, protecting someone's blood, and protecting someone's izzah, his honor as well. It's a sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. And you will see how this sunnah becomes a means of so many problems in society being alleviated and removed from their roots as well. That if everyone's respecting one another, there's no time for fighting one another. If everyone's respecting one another, there's no time for backbiting or speaking ill of another person, plotting against another person. None of that. Everybody is on one mission, one aim, and that is to uphold and preserve the respect that a believer has because he's a believer, because he's a Muslim, because he's a mu'min. May Allah Ta'ala, for the sake of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make us perfect believers. Make us those who are always thinking about ways to protect the honor of our fellow Muslims. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us away and distances from all acts that lead to us violating the rights of our fellow Muslims. Because if we're involved in that, we must do tawbah today, right away. But Ya Allah, I'm sinful. I'm a human being. Ya Allah, whatever's taken place, Ya Allah, I'm regretful over it. I've done this and I've done that, and in this way I've violated the right of a believer. In this way I've done it. But from this day forth, Ya Allah, I repent and I make an intention that I won't do so. And when this intention comes into the mind of a believer and he is firm upon his intention, then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will accept his tawbah, wipe away his sins, and then from there on, with the mercy of Allah, he'll be given tawfiq to adopt this beautiful way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in respecting every single believer he sees, because he doesn't know at the end of the day who is maqbool in the court of Allah. It could be the case that the believer next to you is a saint of Allah, is a wali of Allah, is maqbool in the court of Allah. How do we know? We must respect every single believer, inshallah. This is the only thing that will lead to success. Otherwise, if we're violating Muslims' rights, then we will be full of regret later on, especially in the hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala enable us to remember what has been said, forgive any mistakes, and also enable us to convey this knowledge to others as well. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Stay, O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Stay.